Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity, the leading podcast for residential service contractors, sponsored by Service Roundtable and hosted by David Heimer.
This is David Heimer. Welcome to Profiles in Prosperity. If you're in our industry, it's quite possible you've heard the phrase, you'll like a Hobica. That's the tagline for Phoenix-based Hobica Services, which has been in business since 1952. Hobica Services is a great company. They're known for their services and products. They're known for their tremendous growth, their community service. And recently, they were named Contractor of the Year. My guest today is Andy Hobica, son of Louis Hobica and grandson of the founder of the Hobicas, Paul Hobica Sr. So Andy Hobica, welcome to Profiles in Prosperity.
Thank you, David. I'm happy to be here.
As I understand the family business history, your grandfather started Hobicas. Your dad and uncles bought it from your grandfather and grew it. Your dad, Louis Hobica, is a legend in our industry and a Service Nation Alliance Advisory Board mentor. So you kind of have this in your blood. But let me ask you a few questions to frame this part of our discussion. Were you in the family business as a kid? Did you always want to work in HVAC? How did you end up as an adult in the Hobica organization?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. You know, growing up in this family, you see your dad, he's working a lot. And be honest, to be able to get some attention with your dad, you think about it and you're saying, well, you know, how can I get some more attention from my father? Maybe if I go to work with him or I start hanging around with him on the weekends doing chores and doing activities and different stuff my dad would always do, maybe I'd be able to spend more time with him, which it worked. And I actually went to him and said, you know, dad, I'd like to start coming to work with you. And you learn really fast about how hard HVAC is, especially starting off being an installer helper, technician helper, crawling through attics, running ductwork, blowing in insulation, doing all the grunt stuff in the attic, especially in the summertime when it's 160 degrees. You really learn how to work hard and you make appreciative, you know, a lot faster.
So you're working as a kid in it. Did you see this as a career for you or did you intend to do something else for a while?
I definitely did not see it as a career. I saw it as a job. I knew I could work hard and get good at it, make good money, but I definitely did not want to do this when I was a little kid. When I was a little kid, you know, watching all these movies, action movies, you know, cops and robbers and everything, I actually wanted to be a police officer. And that was my career path all the way up to about 17. I actually was taking some pre-secs at Glendale Community College, getting ready, some pre-law enforcement classes and stuff like that. But working as a kid, about 11, 12 years old, my dad would always tell me, he said, hey, Ange, when you turn 16, what kind of car do you want? And he'd get me all excited. Like, you know, oh man, I want a Mustang or, you know, a Corvette or, you know, whatever I wanted at the time. And then he'd look at me in the face and said, well, you better start working because I'm not giving you a cent. Basically,
the master of motivation.
Yeah. I want a nice car and I want to look cool for the girls. I better work my ass off. So it's funny. I worked from age 11 every single summer growing up. And when I turned 16, I had like 15 grand saved up. So it was definitely worth it. Yeah. That was my motivation to be able to have a cool car so I could show off to my friends and, you know, get the ladies, you know, at the time, you know, your priorities. But no, I definitely did not want to do it for a living. I told myself, I will not be working here when I'm older because this is not what I want to do. Then you start transforming into that person, right? So I was 17 and a half, almost 18 years old, told my dad, hey, dad, I talked to a couple recruiters for Phoenix PD and they recommended that I go into the military first, you know, go into the army and become a military police officer. And my dad said, yeah, I don't recommend that, but, you know, you can do whatever your path leads you to and I'll support you in it. So I remember going down and taking the ASVAB with my dad and I got like a B+ on it. So I got a passing grade and they were going to stick me in as a grunt standard military issue and then work my way up to be a military police officer. My dad said, hey, you're almost 18. How about you come to work back for me at 18 years old? And at the time it was 18, now it's 21, but he's like, you get your own truck, you'll become a technician, you run your own calls. Basically, you have your own company because you're doing your own thing. You're just getting revenue and you can get spiffs and bonuses and you can make a hell of a lot more money than you're even used to. So, you know, why don't you try it out? I just talked to your recruiter and he says you got 6 months to decide whether you want to go in or not. So I went to work for my dad full time after graduating high school, 18 years old, had my own truck and take home truck and started making some really good money because I was good at communication with my customers and been doing it since I was a little kid. After 6 months, I talked myself out of going into the military and then over talked myself out of becoming a police officer. So my dad, you know, had a path. He just wanted me to make up my own decisions.
He's a very smart guy. Tell me about what you do now. You're no longer a technician. You're in sales. Tell me how you made that transition.
Comfort expert, comfort advisor, whatever you like to call it. But at the end of the day, I do like using the comfort expert idea and the saying because A lot of my friends, family, networking partners, Andy, you're in sales. I'm like, well, technically I sell air conditioning systems, but the difference between me and any other HVAC salesperson is I educate the crap out of the customer. By the time I'm done with a request for quote, by the time I'm done with a 2-hour appointment, my customer knows more about HVAC than they ever thought they would ever dream of knowing. And as well, I could be the 3rd, 4th, 5th quote in. I will educate the customer more than anybody, but it's because I have so much field experience and knowledge in the industry. But I was an installer growing up every summer, all the way to 18, like I said, and then 18, 18 and a half, full-time technician till about age 27. And then at age 27, which was about 10 years ago, I actually went up to my dad and said, Dad, you know, how about we try me out in sales? I think I would like it. And he responds automatically and says, I don't think you're ready for that. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, I don't think you're mature enough to be in that position yet. And obviously any father would say to his son, you know, you're not mature enough to be in that yet. I was defensive. And I said, you know, oh, bull crap. Like, you know, he says, I'm not ready. I think I am. That whole thought. So I let like 6 months go by and I actually had lunch with my brother, Dan. He's also in sales. He actually does software sales. He works for a company called EKG and he does really well. My brother is a natural born salesman and does extremely well. And he goes, why aren't you in sales yet? I said, well, Dad won't give me a shot. And he literally looks at me and says, you got to give him an ultimatum. I said, what do you mean? He says, you got to give Dad an ultimatum. You got to tell him exactly what you want, exactly what you want to do. I was kind of afraid. I said, I don't know. I'm intimidated by Dad. And he goes, yeah, he goes, that's normal. Dad's an intimidated individual. He's a good boss. He's going to be like that, but you have to tell him what you want and you have to put your foot down. Otherwise he'll never give it to you. So I took a couple deep breaths, went back to work that day after my lunch and said, Dad, I want to go into sales in the next 6 months. You either try me out a couple days a week or I'm going to go work somewhere else in sales. Like do something else, change industries, because I don't want to do this when I'm 50 years old crawling through attics. And he literally looked at me and said, I'll have to think on that. So I walked away. About 5 minutes later, he comes up to my desk and says, did you meet with your brother recently? He instantly knew exactly what was going on. And he said, all right. He goes, you want to, you know, put your money where your mouth is. I'm going to start you on weekends. So in 2 weeks, you're going to start on Saturday and Sunday because no one likes working weekends. You're going to work everyone's on-call sales. If you prove yourself, I'll move you into the week. This was my challenge and I put everything at it. So I started watching sales videos and seminars and doing audiobooks and started doing everything I could ever do because I wanted to prove my dad wrong, right? Well, it's the first time in my life, but I actually did. And my dad walked up to me and said, wow, you're good at this. I sold more on the weekends in a month than people were selling 5 days a week. So I was able to close everything, create that relationship with the customer. And I wasn't even good yet. That was the thing is I knew I'd be good at this because I was doing good on the weekends alone. So my dad started me as a full-time salesperson about 7-8 years ago. And then, you know what, David, not to sound cocky, but I've been crushing it ever since. Been breaking records every year.
What did you do in your first year of sales?
So to go back real quick, before I tell you that, my last year as a technician, even when I told my dad I wanted to move into sales, the reason I even thought about going into sales was because as a technician, I was really good at talking to customers about repairs, about upgrades, about, hey, your system's 15 years old. You might want to get a quote on a new system. Because at the end of the day, as a technician, I would still get 1% of the sales. So if my comfort advisor went out and he sold a $20,000 system, as a technician, I'm going to get $200 because I talked the customer into at least hearing out the comfort advisor. So I loved doing that. And I'm like, man, I'm leaving a lot of money on the table. I could be the comfort advisor. So where I got that thought process is my last year as a technician, which was, I believe in like 2013. Yeah, right around there. I was the first technician in Hobica history to hit $1 million in revenue.
Wow.
My first year in sales, in a sales position at Hobica, I did like $2.5 million.
Very nice. There's a number of sales people who comfort advisors who never hit that.
So we'll talk about numbers, but 8-9 years ago, $2.5 million. And then the next year, 3, the next year, 3.5, the next year, 4. And the speed up till last year I did 5.3.
That's incredible.
I'll do 6.5 this year. That's my goal. I'm on track right now.
Congratulations. That's fantastic.
I appreciate it, buddy.
What do you think you do that's different than other people? Why are you so successful?
Well, David, I don't know if you've watched any of my videos on social media, but I probably release 2 to 3 educational/motivational videos every week, Instagram, Facebook. But if someone is on Instagram, it's probably the best place. I probably have a couple hundred videos right there right now. And it's just Andy Hobica. That's my name. That's my tagline. Everything good to go there. Andy Hobica typed in the search engine. So it all starts with your routines, David. And how I feel about it is I start it with my mornings. I tell everyone my morning routine. I wake up every day at 3:15 and I go to the gym at 4 a.m. every single day. Now, people say, Andy, how the hell do you do that? that's got to be impossible. You know what? At the beginning, it was impossible. But you know what? I do it every day, and I did it today. I do it 7 days a week. I do a little bit later on the weekends because the gym doesn't open until 5. It opens at 4 during the week. But how you do it, David, and this will work for anyone. It will work for you, too, if you want to try it. The Miracle Morning. Okay, it's a book, audio book. I listened to it, but The Miracle Morning, and I justified it. I did it a little bit different. I went a little bit different of a route, but I created my Andy Hobaika Miracle Morning. When you set your alarm or your phone, instead of putting it on your nightstand next to your bed, put it on your dresser. Okay, so that makes you get out of bed to go get your phone. One, to turn it off and not wake up your wife. But two, because you just want to hit snooze and go back to bed. Well, you're going to get out of bed. You're going to walk over to your dresser or your counter or your bathroom sink or whatever it is that you have to actually walk to. And you hit the snooze button and turn it off. Well, right next to your phone or alarm, have a 32-ounce glass of room temperature water. Down the water. Then, instantly after that, go into the bathroom, wash your face with some cold water, brush your teeth. You do those three things, I guarantee you're not going to go back to bed. So instantly after that, I'm like, well, I'm awake now. I'm hydrated. I was probably tired because I hadn't drank water in 6 to 8 hours. I might as well do something with it. So then I instantly go downstairs, take some pre-workout, play with my dogs. And then I actually write down my goals and my affirmations for the morning. So what I'm thankful for and everything that I'm going to accomplish that day. Then I go and work out. I get a good hour and a half workout in. I do the cold plunge and sauna every single day, cold plunge at like 45 degrees, which is amazing in the morning with the natural energy boost. I come home, I walk my dogs, I eat a healthy breakfast, kiss my family, and I get out the door. Now, just that right there, David, would boost everyone's sales by $1 million a year if they did that every single morning. So it's very important how you start your day, because I'll tell you right now, the hardest thing you're going to do all day is wake up at 3:15 and force yourself to go to the gym. If you can force yourself to do that in the morning first thing, you're going to have a successful day. That's how I start my day.
Wow. What time do you go to bed at night?
8:30, 9 o'clock. And people are like, oh, wow. And then I respond and tell them, your kids shouldn't be up past 9:30 anyways, because they got school and they want to be productive. So if they're going to bed at a good time, great. What are you doing that's so great after 9 o'clock? Nothing happens good after 9 o'clock. You might as well go to bed, wake up early and get some production, you know, done in the morning.
Good thought. I like it.
Differences in, you know, like in sales is the Hobaika way. I don't know if you've obviously heard my dad practices everything I do. I've learned from my father, but all the little things. So you see an appointment on your schedule, 1 o'clock, random customer, and they've never used us, you know, Tom Hopkins or whatever. And you look at it and you're like, well, I'm going to look this customer up a few ways. I'm going to look them up on Zillow to find out the square footage of the home or whatever they think it is. I'm going to look at the house on Zillow and Google Earth to see if I can see anything that's going to stand out, you know, help me with my call. As well, I look them up on social media. Maybe I can actually find that person. Maybe there's not 1,000 of them. And maybe I can find a common interest even before I go to the house. So doing a little 5-minute background on the customer, the house, the square footage, all that stuff. And I print it all out, or I'll take screenshots on my phone before I go to the call. Then on the way to the call, every single time I call, give them a 30 to 40 or 50 minute heads up that I'm on the way, you know, to their house, confirm that they're home. I tell them, hey, actually, I got to stop and get gas. So it's going to take another 5 minutes. And I usually get an iced tea about this time of day. Is there anything I can grab you at Quick Trip? And just shut up. Most people are going to respond to either no, thank you. And at least you offered. Some people respond and say, you know what? Yeah, grab me an energy drink, or hey, grab me an iced tea, or whatever it is. And at least you offered. And if they accept it, you already created something right there. So half the time they'll accept it, half the time they'll deny it. But at least when you show up to the front door and you're holding your iced tea, they're like, ah, crap, maybe I should have taken advantage of it. He was going to grab me a drink and I didn't even take advantage of it. Or you did and you hand it to him. They answer the door, you hand them the drink, you don't hand them the drink. You ask him if you're parked outside correctly and you go, hey, is my truck parked in the way? I don't want to be in the way. I'm going to be here for a little bit. Do you mind if I come in? So I slip my booties on, come inside. Now, another big mistake people make is they go right to the thermostat, right to the return grill. Stop doing that. Stop going to the kitchen table right away. You want to build a relationship with the customer. So you can ask, hey, take me to the thermostat, but slowly take them to the thermostat. Slowly walk down the hallway. Look at the pictures on the wall. Create a relationship with the customer. This is all about the relationship you're going to build in the next 2 hours with this customer. Whether they buy from you or not is whether they trust you or not. If you're there to give them a quote, they're going to get 5 more of those exact quotes. No one spent some time with these people. You know how many people are just starving to tell people about their day and, you know, what's going on? Be that person. So I create a real long-lasting relationship with the customer. And, you know, I'll have customers call and text me on my birthday and Christmas just to say happy birthday, you know, Merry Christmas, because they care about me. I create a long-term relationship with these people, and they don't just use me. They refer me to all their friends and family.
That's fantastic. Do you do any sort of follow-up with them later after the sale?
Always. So as soon as I leave the house, whether I sold it or not, I send them a letter in the mail saying, thank you for allowing me in the home. I really enjoyed talking about this. I enjoyed meeting your dog, whatever it is. And whether I sold it or not, I could have sold it or I could have not have sold it. I'm going to give them a thank you letter, drop it in the mail on my way home so they get it the following day with a $10 Starbucks coupon as well.
Wow. That's incredible.
It's all about processes. As soon as you get part of it, you just keep doing it every day. You're not going to get $7 million by going out and giving people quotes.
What else do you think you did that makes you stand out?
Being genuine, telling stories. You know, a lot of people will be like, you know, you go to someone's house and they have no air conditioning, or let's say you go to a house and they have it. So they have two systems, they're both working, but they're on their last legs and they're just getting quotes. Coming up with stories and, you know, getting on a reel with a customer, looking at them and saying, hey, Bob, you ever been without AC in the middle of the summer? Just shut up. If they say, ah, no, man, just last week down the street from here, actually, one of your neighbors, and you say an address, a name, if you want to drop a name and say they were without AC for a week and a half. See, the problem is it's nice outside right now. But when it gets to about 115, 120, and it's like that all summer long for 3 months, it's not like your system goes out and I can replace it tomorrow. It's going to take a week or two to get everything together and get it installed. So really think about how bad it would really be for you and your wife to sit in a home like that. You would not deal with that. You would go get a hotel. So now we're talking about a week and a half with a hotel. How much does that cost? And you just tell stories. Not enough people get on the same playing field as the customer. Like, what exactly does it feel like when you lose your AC in the middle of the summer?
Yeah.
It's all about emotions, David.
Someone getting into the industry, what would you advise them to do? Somebody who said, man, what Andy has done is fantastic. I want to get into the industry. I want to do stuff like that. What would you advise, like, let's say an 18-year-old, what would you tell him or her?
Does he live in Arizona?
Let's say he does.
You can give me a call. That's all I have. We actually have our own training program. We have a school called NTI, and there's a couple owners, my dad and three other owners of HVAC companies that started the school ourselves. We have our own teachers, our own program, our own, you know, curriculum, and basically we hire within the school. And the best part about it is the 18-year-old kid that doesn't know what he wants to do for a living, we'll get him interested in air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, teach him all three. And when he gets out of the training, he's going to start at a good wage and be debt-free. He doesn't owe any money for the school. That's a big one, to where a lot of these kids will go to RSI or AAI and they're in debt $80,000 for the first, you know, 10 years of their life.
The school is free?
Yeah. So they sit in class and get paid minimum wage while paying nothing for the school.
Wow. That's awesome.
And then we hire within. So we, well, you can have that one. I want this one, I get the next one, that kind of thing, to where they just hired within of one of the four companies and we get a lot of good ones. We have five technicians that went through the program and they've excelled past the guys that started here at RSI or came with a little bit of training or experience. We teach them our way, which is the Hobaika way, the only way I want them to learn it and do it our way.
So what's next for you? You seem like a very ambitious person.
I can't say how far along. I love what I do. I'm going to keep doing it. I have little kids at home. So, you know, I have a 2.5-year-old and a 5-month-old. So I have a new family growing up and I need to support them and make sure they have a great life. And I know I can. So I'm going to keep doing sales slowly, probably start transitioning in the next 3 to 5 years, maybe sooner, into some coaching because I love coaching people. I've done it, just haven't got paid for it yet. So I've done it to people to where I want to see them grow and started them from the bottom all the way to the top, coach them to be a better person, better father, a better salesperson, how to present themselves, get in better shape, the whole thing, to where I think I could do that for a living, because the way I would do it, I don't think there's many people out there doing it. I've been to a lot of sales training classes for HVAC. I've been to all the seminars, been to all that stuff. And to be honest, I think I can do it in a different way that'll actually reach a different crowd, but that's obviously for the future. I'm really excited doing what I'm doing now. To go off of that, I love talking. Obviously, you can hear my voice. I'm genuine. I like speaking about what I truly believe in. And I've actually been invited to speak twice this year. So this year, September 13th, I think, I'm giving a roundtable discussion at the Pantheon Service Titan Conference. I'm going to be speaking on stage there. And then I'm also going to be speaking on stage at Service World Expo. So I'm also giving I'm giving a breakout session at Service World Expo on how to, you know, reach over 5 million in sales.
That's fantastic. Well, I would not miss that. If anybody's listening to this, is going to be at Service World Expo, that alone would pay for your trip.
Yeah, I appreciate it, buddy. Yeah. And I'm really excited for the Pantheon one, because the Service Titan Pantheon one is going to be humongous.
Yeah, it's a great show. I've presented there. It's a great event.
Beautiful.
One of the many things I like about the Hobikas is your commitment to your community. You guys do a lot of charitable activities. One I remember is the One Bag at a Time, and I know you guys do a lot of other community support as well. Tell me a little bit about what you guys do.
Yeah, so One Bag at a Time, I actually founded myself about 15 years ago. It's called One Bag at a Time, and our website is onebagatatime.org. You can check us out there. There's a donation link there, some videos, some information. But long story short, man, growing up, Catholic family, every Sunday we'd go to church in the morning. And then afterwards, my parents would have us go give back, whether it was community service, go to Andre House, which Andre House is like a soup kitchen for the homeless. We would do all this little stuff. And then as you get older in high school, you know, you got sports, you got a lot of things to do. You start falling off on that. So your parents let you slip up a little bit because you got other priorities, other things going on in life, school, trying to better yourself. So that starts falling off a little bit. Well, I hit age about 21, 22, and I said, you know what I really miss in my life? The thing I'm missing, I'm happy, I'm making good money, but like I really miss giving back to people, so I'm going to start something myself. So I literally bootstrapped it and said, I'm going to start packing sack lunches for people that are asking for money on the side of the road. So I started getting little lunch bags and putting non-perishable food items, maybe some baby wipes, some random stuff that I would think, if I was homeless, what would I like? And I started packing these bags, and then I started having my roommates help out to where I would buy everything, but they would help me pack the bags so we could pack 100 of them and have them good for the month. And that got real popular real fast, started posting it on, I think it was MySpace at the time, which Facebook wasn't even around, and started posting about it, and I had more friends and family try to get involved. Then I started doing it on a bigger scale and started having events once a month downtown. So in downtown Phoenix and the heart of homelessness. And back then it wasn't even that bad to what it is now. It's insane. But we'd set up tables and pack bags for the homeless and give them out. I started getting family involved, friends involved. My parents started coming to all the events. My dad got Hope Bike Services involved, started donating items and a lot of fun stuff. And then about 6-7 years ago, I met someone in BNI, this Business Networking International, a friend of mine, which is now my financial advisor and also the vice president of One Bag at a Time, Ted Young. Ted owns a Raymond James office in Scottsdale, and he manages my money and makes me a lot of money. But as well, he's a very giving person. He literally walked up to me at the networking event and said, Andy, I heard about this nonprofit, the Feeding the Homeless. Tell me something. Why aren't you a 501c3? I said, what do you mean? And he says, well, you're not a nonprofit. I'm like, oh yeah, well, the status of 501c3, I've applied for it 3 times, but they denied me 3 times. And he says, yeah, you mind if I take a look at it? It's probably the paperwork. You're probably doing something wrong. I'm really good at paperwork. He got me approved in 3 months. So because of that individual, Ted Young, which is one of my best friends and was in my wedding, so just, you know, someone that has changed my life, he switched over One Bag at a Time to become an actual nonprofit. And we've been a nonprofit for about 6.5-7 years. And Hobika, man, my dad and the company really backed us up and just started donating in a real big way. My mom and dad go to every single event, and my dad will just go off on a limb and say, I just ordered 5,000 packs of baby wipes from Alibaba, or I just ordered all these little things. And like, it's like, holy crap. And you really see my dad coming through because he's the same as me. We love giving back and seeing other people. So we have events once a month. We post them on the One Bag at a Time Facebook page, and we call them Creating Smiles. So basically at each event, homeless person grabs a bag. It's usually a Hobika Services bag that we had branded, and they come down the line. They get water. They get 5 or 6 different food items, toiletries, baby wipes, shampoo, conditioner, like all these individual items, clothes. And then we usually have a vendor at the end, some kind of restaurant or someone who made sandwiches, give them a hot plate at the end with a cold drink. And these people are just thankful that we're there. So we create smiles on a Sunday or a Saturday, and we leave happy, and we know they're happy. So it really fills your life with joy.
What a great thing to have created. Way to go. That's amazing. It's nice to hear somebody who's not just personally successful, but also contributing to the community the way you have. It's an amazing story.
A lot of people say, you know, I really want to get on the success level where you're at. How do you do it? And I'll ask them, I'm not calling you out, but when's the last time you gave back to your community? And I'll just shut up. And they're like, oh man, I haven't done that in years. It's like, that's what you're probably missing. If you gave back and you helped out those in need, you're going to be so much more grateful. You'll live happier. You'll come off with that positive energy, and people will see it. And that's how you're going to make more money.
Well, Andy, thank you so much for doing this. You mentioned the YouTube channel that you've got set up. Would you tell us about that again? Because I'm sure after people listen to this, they're going to want to check that out.
Just the Instagram page. So, okay. If you go to Instagram and you type in Andy Hobika for the name, for the Instagram name, all my videos are right there.
Okay. And Hobika is?
H-O-B as in boy, A-I-C-A. So A-N-D-Y-H-O-B-A-I-C-A.
Check it out, everybody. It's good stuff. Well, Andy, thank you so much for doing this. This has been fantastic, and I'm looking forward to hearing about your presentations and hearing more about your career. You've already been so wildly successful. I just can't imagine what the future looks like for you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
We're always looking for good ideas and interviews for our podcast. If you have an idea or maybe you think you should be interviewed, just shoot an email to profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. That's profilesinprosperity@serviceroundtable.com. If you think what we're doing has any value, it would be very helpful if you would give us a great rating on iTunes. Thanks for your support. Hope to see you again soon. Bye.